We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. A little later than normal because, thank God, they were playing later than normal. But both Dave Dombrowski, in effect the GM, but, you know, president of baseball operations. Both Dave Dombrowski and Alex Cora just held their season-ending press conferences.
That was the one 2 years ago where Dave Dombrowski said, I just told John Farrell
yeah.
he's coming back.
By the way, he just told Alex Cora he's coming back next year, too.
I like that one. That one makes more sense to me.
By the way, and based on what I've been able to find here, it looks like Alex Cora made $800,000 this past season.
Seems like
I would
bargain.
Say he's in line for a fairly healthy pay raise.
I wonder, do you have any idea, like, what's the highest paid manager and how much he makes?
Well, supposedly he's one of the lowest paid managers.
I would hope so. At that, I mean, that's a grind of a season.
Oof.
The World Series winning manager makes $800,000. It seems very low.
I'm going to say he's going to make more than that.
Like, I would kill a man for $800,000, but I'm just saying I'm not a manager of a World
Series. Really?
You better watch your back.
Holy crap.
Okay, who that man is? You point him out. But for him to be, I mean, yeah, he's obviously due for a big boost, though. That's for sure.
All right, so Alex Cora met with the media just a few minutes ago down at Fenway Park, you know, the brick wall press conference. You know what it looks like.
Oh, yeah.
And we thought we'd bring you at least a chunk of what he had to say, because some of this stuff is pretty important.
And it sounds like this.
How are you doing after getting hit by the beer can?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
And what are your thoughts?
I panicked because it kind of like hit me and hit my daughter. You asked my daughter, she didn't care. She was like, hey, it's part of it. I don't know. It's, you know, I know the kid didn't mean to hurt anybody. Obviously it's dangerous, but it is what it is. You know, like, I guess he apologized and I don't know where he's at right now, but we're fine. Actually, you know, I just gotta be ready to make that play the next time. Yeah, she. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she is.
Hey, Alex. What are the plans for when you get home? And who are you bringing with you? And
I don't know how many will go. There's a few. There, obviously, Christian is going. Eddie's going. There's a few that. You know, there's people going home, flying home, but. It should be fun. We fly in Saturday, trying to cut it off. It's, you know, I know how people back home, when they do it right and long. And we're just going over the details, but it should be fun. They're expecting a lot of people. Treat these guys, you know, with a lot of food and beverages, and just show the people from back home, you know, that they're part of it. They're part of it. So it should be a cool day.
And this is all going
to
be...
To be able to wear shorts and T-shirts again. Yeah, that'll be great.
This is all going to be in your hometown?
Yeah, everything in my hometown. I actually talked to the governor right after we won, and I say, hey, I can go to, you know, to La Fortaleza to, you know, meet you, you know, talk to you later on. He's a fan, actually. He went to school here. They went to Harvard. And I say, we'll go to San Juan whenever you feel like it later on, but... let me get home first and enjoy it with the people from my hometown.
And the trophy's coming with you?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, having your family there, though, obviously the beer did hit your daughter, as you mentioned. You know, what was your thoughts there for the rest of the
day? No, in the beginning, I panicked, honestly. But then after that, this part of it, I saw 04, I saw 07, I saw 13, and I saw, you know, this year. So, I mean, they don't mean it the way, I guess, the best way to put it is when they throw you a full beer, you know? It means, like, cheers and enjoy. Yeah, but, you know, it doesn't have to be a big deal, honestly.
Alex, I asked Dave the same question. He's been around a long time, 31 years, hired a lot of managers, seen a lot of things. Your situation a little different. 1 year as manager, 1 year as bench coach. Obviously, you played a long time. What did you learn, even win or lose? What did you learn? A few things this year that maybe you didn't really know, and that maybe helped you and maybe helped this team.
How to manage time. That was the challenging part of it. The baseball side of it, you know, from preparation till the last out of the day. That was not easy, but that's what I've been doing for a living. But time, you know, I like to spend time with my players, be on the field, and between the media requests, meetings, there were a few days that I felt short with that. And the good thing is that at 7:05, regardless of how much time I spent with the players on the field before, during batting practice, I knew they were going to be ready to play because of my coaching staff. They did an outstanding job. They're great baseball men, and they care about these guys. And we see the game very similar. And the job they did in between, you know, 2 o'clock till 6:55 before the guys went out there and stretched and all that stuff, it was amazing. They were great from, you know, from the analytical department to JT, Steve, in the room, as far as like scouting and advanced scouting, obviously to all the coaches, they were amazing. They were amazing, and they made it easier. But I think time is the one that that was a tough part.
Hey, Alex, if President Trump calls, would you like to visit the White House with your player?
One thing for sure, and I read a few things, you know, they asked me, that was the last question when we won. I've been using this platform the right way the whole time, and we'll talk about it as an organization. And whatever we decide is going to be respected. And if we decide to go, I will use my platform the right way. You know, I mean, if you start looking at this team, you know, we got guys from the United States and from, you know, Dominican Republic, Venezuela, Puerto Rico. So I'll use the platform the right way. Like I said before, and I know the headlines don't show it, I say I respect the President of the United States, and I know he helped our country. So whenever we have to make the decision, we'll make it, and it's going to be respected.
Alex, when you consider yesterday you could have lost one of your best players, how aggressively were you in David Price's ear to convince him to choose that opt-in?
Not very aggressive. You know, that's part of the contract, and he had options, and he opted in, and I'm very happy that he's going to be back with us.
Just knowing what's coming off of the roster, what do you need this winter?
Rest. Now, it's you know, season starts today, huh? That's the way it is. I always look at November 1st, like when I was a player, you know, time to start working out. And now, last year, I got here around this time, and we start working right away. Actually, it was funny because there were a few trades during October, and I asked Dave, I said, what's going on? He's like, well, there's 28 teams working for next year, and there's 2 teams that are working for this year and next year. I was like, okay, that's why you've been in baseball for 40 years. But we'll see where it goes. You know, players have, you know, to make decisions, obviously. That's what they work so hard for, you know, throughout their career, you know, to get to free agency. And we'll see where we at. I do feel that we have a good team, very athletic, very versatile. And you know, whatever the offseason takes us, we're going to be fine. We're going to be good.
Alex, te tenemos que preguntar en español, obviamente, por el incidente de la cerveza. ¿Qué pasó por tu mente en ese momento? ¿Y cómo está tu niña, tu familia? En ese momento específicamente.
All right, we'll back away.
See,
from,
no,
yeah, because
I could translate if you'd like.
Yeah,
me to.
Would you just grab
he
a hold of that?
He did say something
for
about
me?
The beer that was thrown on him, though. He definitely said something about that. He'd
so
drop a cerveza in there.
The White House question came up,
yes.
As you would expect. And now, I will say that when John Henry was asked by Rob Bradford about the White House, he said, you know, we'd probably go. And then at the end, he added, you know, we've got to talk about it as an organization.
Yeah.
You heard Alex Cora kind of reiterate that. We'll discuss that as an organization. The Houston Astros went last year after they won. They went on like March 12th. Hmm. Carlos Correa and Carlos Beltran did not go. Beltran is a Puerto Rican native. He did not feel that the president had done enough to help his country. I'm not sure the reason Correa didn't go. But they went as a team, those two players elected not to go.
Okay. And then, yeah, because we've seen the extremes, too. So that's a pretty close to 100% turnout, you know, if you're talking about only two players
yes.
didn't go. Whereas the New England Patriots, it was much more mixed. You know, there was obviously
Tom
Brady
didn't
specifically
go.
Didn't go. The Golden State Warriors as an entire team didn't go. Now, they obviously have the fewest amount of players of any of the professional sports leagues or teams. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the Red Sox decide to do. But it sounds like Alex Cora, even when he has been sort of, you know, prompted to take a shot at the president,
he said he respects the office, he respects the presidency.
Right.
He said, I have used my platform and I will continue to use my platform.
He's not
now
only,
they're going. He's going home Saturday with the trophy, by the way,
not only
to his hometown.
Does he make the right in-game decisions all the time? Doesn't it seem like he answers the questions correctly all the time,
almost
too?
Almost always.
It's almost like, I'm not saying he does.
In his second language, by the way.
Right. It's like he's had the questions ahead of time, and he doesn't, because we talked to him, and it's not like we gave him the questions. And
we didn't think what we were going to say until we said it.
And so he was able to, I mean, he just... If he had like a winning percentage of press conferences, I mean, I think he'd be undefeated there too.
So he was asked a couple of questions also about his lineup and where things will stand for next year.
Is it tough at all going into the offseason not knowing quite what to expect from Dustin for next season?
Well, he's always tough, you know. To win it without him, it was tough enough. But like I told him, I said, you're going to impact this team regardless, on the field or off the field. And what he did in the clubhouse was amazing, in the dugout. He was still the same guy showing up at, you know, half hour before the game in the dugout and talk the game. We'll see how it goes, you know. I still expect him to contribute, like I told him, and you guys can go ahead and write it, you know. If he's ready to go, I think that's the only game he's going to lead off next year. You know, he'll lead off opening day against probably John Paxson. I told him that a few months ago, because he deserves it. So Mookie won't lead off one game next year. But, yeah, that's the goal.
He's got him leading off already?
Well, for one game.
No, I understand.
He said he's going to – they open the season in Seattle, which is – he's already probably figured out who's going to get the opening day start for Seattle. It's John Paxson.
Okay.
So what he said is if he's ready to go, he's earned it, he will lead off that game, and then Mookie Betts will lead off the rest of the year.
Jeez.
Sort of an honorary thing, and yeah. I don't mind that. That's fine.
That's interesting. So, all right. I mean, that puts a little bit of, a lot can change, and you still got spring training and everything. But so I guess in their mind, they think he'll be healthy enough to go to start next season.
He thinks so. He half joked, but not really half joked about Chris Sale. Said, I'm not going to let him pitch in spring training till March 20th.
He shouldn't. I'm sorry, we've had people suggest that he doesn't pitch till the All-Star
break. July, yeah.
Like do the old Clemens routine.
Dave Dombrowski said during his press conference today, there will be no surgery required for Sale. All he needs is rest. He expects him to be 100% for spring training next year.
Is that good or bad? You know, because
yeah, I don't know.
First of all,
because then you wonder, is he going to need rest again next?
That's what
September.
That's how I look at it. Yeah. It's one thing to say, well, no surgery should be good news. You should hear that and say, good. Like you don't want any of these guys, even though it seems pretty commonplace, but you don't want these guys to have to go through surgery if they don't have to. But then it just means, all right, so why will next year be different? Because they even managed his innings this year, even better than Farrell did the year before. And it's not like Farrell like made him throw complete game after complete game, but even this year
they were very careful.
Five innings, yes. Six inning starts, and then he still broke down, maybe even worse than he did the year before.
A lot of the other stuff you'll get answers for later on today, because Alex Cora will be on with OMF. I don't know the exact time, but
2:30.
Oh, 2:30. Thank you. Alex Cora will join those guys at 2:30 today.
2:30.
No, we don't. That's not a thing.
Oh, it doesn't bleed over.
No, it doesn't bleed over.
Okay.
And by the way, to the texter who says, that's kind of racist, Dale. In his second language, no, that's exactly the fact.
Why is that? How's that racist?
He was Spanish-speaking before he learned English.
No, it's impressive is what it is. It's not
racist.
That's
the point I'm making.
It's impressive.
I used to say that about Pedro, by the way,
right?
Who you know was remarkably well-spoken in his second language. His first language was obviously Spanish.
Right. Yeah, I don't know how that's...
I don't know how that's... why is that so hard for you to figure out, you moron? What's your second language,
yep,
stupid?
Here we go. Here it is.
I hate the idea that
I hate the siren.
Well, that too.
I hate it.
You know, if you give credit to Alex Cora for being as adept as he is in his second language,
that's a compliment.
For some moron out there, that becomes a racist comment.
It's probably the guy that threw the beer at him. Probably the same.
It
guy.
It might have been the same guy. And boy, did he downplay that.
He downplayed the hell out of it.
Yeah, he said, if you ask my daughter, she's fine, everything's
he's
good.
He's like, oh, it's part of it. Like, well, it really shouldn't be.
He's got to be ready to make that play.
Yeah, like funny, like great answer.
He just handles everything impeccably. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest he's probably in the market for a big pay raise.
I would assume so, yes. Yes, I would.
And another texter asked if Cora went to the White House with the Astros. He was managing the Red Sox at the time.
But it was spring training.
It was March 12th. I don't remember him leaving the Red Sox to join the Astros. It was not that he was making a political statement. It's, you know, I got my team over here.
Yeah. I don't remember back in March what he decided to do.
Yeah, I do not believe that he went, but it had nothing to do with the president. He went out of his way. In fact, when he commented about, you know, next spring, he said, you know, the president has helped my country. He said that flat out.
Right.
He also said that he respects the office and respects the president, and the president has helped my country.
Mm-hmm.
So he did not go, I don't believe, last March, but it was simply because the Astros were going.
Yeah, it's not a political statement by any means. Yeah.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get right back to the calls with you guys coming up next. Dale and Keith, Tom Curran at the top of the hour, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Hit us up on Twitter at Dale Keefe, WEEI. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Tommy Curran, top of the hour. Let's get back to the calls with you guys right now. Let's talk to Al on the cell phone. Hey, Al.
What's up, Al? Go ahead, Al. What? Huh?
We'll just put him on hold.
I'm having an Al
you
there.
You know, we just don't.
Al's ready to rock and roll. Our next guy. Next man up. Or woman up.
Up. I have Doug. Doug in Holyoke. Okay, Doug.
Probably a man. What's up, Doug?
Hey, good morning, or actually afternoon, man. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Hey, Dale, you said Alex Cora said the president helped out my country.
Yep.
Well, his country is the United States.
Oh, we're getting into semantics now?
Well, I'm just saying. You know, they should have the right to vote in Puerto Rico, but they're a commonwealth just like Massachusetts.
No, they're not.
They're the commonwealth of Puerto Rico.
No, they're a country.
No, they're not.
Oh, my God. What does it matter? Who cares?
They are a territory of the United States. They are U.S. Okay. citizens.
Okay.
But they are not a commonwealth like the commonwealth of Massachusetts.
Okay.
They are a territory.
You educated me.
Honestly, Doug, what does it matter? What's your point?
Well, now it's all wrong because it's not the country thing.
But who cares? But all right, even if you were right, what's the matter? I don't really understand. I have no idea what you mean.
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, that the Puerto Rico should be part of the United States.
All right. Okay.
Well, no,
This isn't the geography. Like, what are we doing? Who cares?
They don't.
What's his point?
They don't have a vote in the United States Congress. I mean, yes, and Alex Cora says, "My country," as most Puerto Rican natives say, "My country." He is taking the trophy, he said that the other day. We're going to take the trophy home to my country. They are a territory of the United States.
Oh, my God.
They're not a state or a commonwealth or anything else.
Puerto Rico can play in the World Cup. They can play in the Olympics. They can take part in all that stuff. So that's good enough for me.
Louis in Cambridge. Hey, Louis.
Jeez, Louis.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's going on?
Okay.
I'm loving this Alex Cora talk. You know, he is the ultimate player's coach. That is exactly what we needed. John Farrell was a great coach, you know, in his own right. Alex Cora is an even better fit for this team. But my question is, who's responsible for hiring Alex Cora? Who went out on a limb to hire this first-year
Dombrowski
mystery coach? Dombrowski.
Yes.
This guy is not getting enough credit.
Oh,
he
okay.
He's not getting enough. Steve Pierce.
Yes.
Nathan Eovaldi.
Yes.
Ian Kinsler, not so much in the playoffs, but down the stretch, he played a very important role. Hiring Alex Cora, going out on a limb, hiring this first-year coach, Dave Dombrowski, man, like he deserves a round of applause. He really does, because this guy really made this.
Thank you, Rich.
Thank you, Rich.
Well done.
Woo! Dave Dombrowski deserves a lot of credit.
He does.
He's been getting a lot of credit.
We've been talking about him for months now. But we all mocked him at the trade deadline. What do you mean, Zach Britton's going to the Yankees and you get Nathan Eovaldi?
Well, yeah, we wanted I liked Eovaldi. I liked Pierce, but I wanted a reliever. I thought Eovaldi was going to be a starter.
Yeah, we didn't know you got one.
Yeah, you didn't realize you had a rover the whole time. You always had a rover there. But that's the thing, is if you're going to pull a Dave Dombrowski, which in baseball circles means gut the farm system and bring in a lot of high-priced guys,
right.
You need to win the whole thing. So when he goes into Detroit, you needed to win the whole thing. And so he got a really good team, but his bullpen let him down, and they ultimately didn't win the whole thing. Whereas now, it's okay to trade Yoan Moncada or Manuel Margot or Anderson Espinosa. You can get rid of all those guys if you win, and he did, and he still has a lot of young guys that are no longer in the farm system.
Now,
but they're
now
starting
the farm system. That's fine.
Fried.
I don't care.
No, you can't now that they won.
I really don't. If at the end of it you can hold up that trophy, bent though it may be.
Yeah.
If you can hold that up and say, okay, now what?
Right, because the whole idea of keeping the prospects is to what? Have a great team and one day win the title, right? Win the whole thing. Well, you did it. You did it. And that's what these teams can do, especially the high payroll teams, is they can take some of the shortcuts and they can spend $200+ million on David Price. They can afford to sign these guys to new contracts like Rick Porcello or take on Craig Kimbrell's contract. Like, you can do all of that stuff and get rid of your top prospects, which he didn't draft, by the way. Like, he was fortunate enough to inherit a great farm system and then flipped the guy. And the other really impressive part is he kept Mookie Betts, he kept Andrew Benintendi, he kept Bogarts. Now, I know some of them were a little bit more established than others, but think about it. You go back a couple years ago, the Chris Sale day, which actually was my first day on the job here, Dale. The first show we did together was the day they traded Chris Sale.
Wow.
So it's 1-1A.
You know what? I think you deserve more credit than you get for having turned this thing around.
Well, in the
here.
Memory of Boston sports fans, I know they kind of overlap those 2 days.
What was bigger?
Those
for
two
them.
Events on yeah. one day. But the point is, they easily could have traded Andrew Benintendi and kept Yoan Moncada, but look how smart that looks. And I don't know if it was the White Sox choice or if it was just Dombrowski saying, "Hey, we're not trading Benintendi." But either way, that's like when Danny Ainge traded Sebastian Telfair and not Rajon Rondo to the Timberwolves. Like, what a huge difference! Like, at the time, you're like, "Oh, two young guys, you know, pick one." Well, no, one of them looks like he's going to be a future all-star outfielder, and the other one, Moncada, still doesn't seem like he's all that great.
Not yet.
So, I mean, those guys haven't come back to bite him. Like, there was no Jeff Bagwell for Larry Anderson yet.
Look, the caller's right that Dombrowski should get a lot of credit.
I think
he's been getting a fair chunk of credit.
I think he has been getting a lot of credit, and he deserves it. And now we'll see, you know, what does he do from here? A couple of the decisions were kind of made for him. You know, David Price, Chris Sale's an obvious one, just bringing him back for one more year. But now, what does he do from here? That'll be interesting.
Steve's on the truck phone. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
Hey,
doing
good.
Great.
Hey, Dale, I got a suggestion for you.
Sure.
You should call Awaken 180 and tell them, get Chris Sale in there, but do a reverse. Get 20 pounds of muscle mass.
The opposite.
That's not a thing.
I can put him on a program. Call him whatever you want.
I get you plenty of pasta.
Yeah.
You know, the Italian one.
Craft
yeah,
beer.
I can put weight on him. Yeah.
No problem.
I think that'd help him a little bit. Upper body muscle. I mean, because it seems that that's where all his legs are fine. The leg drive. But I think it's in his upper body because his arm and his shoulder always, and his elbow, whatever it is the part that's getting him. Maybe if you get a little more muscle mass up there, it would work. He's only, what, 180?
He's like listed at 180.
Yeah, that's SID numbers.
You know, he's
6'5".
He's 6'6", 180. I mean, that's what he's listed. He's like Ichabod Crane.
I'm willing to give him 20 pounds or so if he wants. No problem.
Yeah, I think there are lots of people around New England willing to donate weight to get Chris Sale. I'm not sure he'd be the same guy afterwards. But,
I know, but it's a tricky thing. It's on the flip side, it was like when people would say, hey, tell CeCe Sabathia to lose weight. Well, some of these guys have made it work. Like, think about it. Chris Sale, I know he looks like he's going to get hurt all the time, and he's broken down the last couple of years. But the truth is, he has pitched 9 years in the majors.
Yeah.
So think about that. Like, that's a lot of pitches. He has almost 1,500 career regular season innings. He's gone over 200 innings once, twice, three times, four times, including last year. He led the majors in innings pitched. Led the American League anyway in innings pitched. So that body type has also led him to success. Like, there's no guarantee. Like, say you put 20 pounds of muscle on him. Well, does he throw as hard?
No.
Does he, or like, is probably, he as flexible? Like,
probably
is
it, does it. Nothing works the same.
Right, because that's one thing where you say, oh, you should be able to do all this stuff better. Well, maybe he's not as quick to the plate. Like, he's so used to carrying around 150 pounds that it may be tough for him to adjust to all of a sudden 210 pounds.
Eddie's on the cell phone. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, guy. Hey, Dale, you know, I was thinking of you because you told the story about how your daughter and had thought that Joe Kelly was hot, and I'm like, gee, how old
I didn't say
daughter?
Hot. Well, she's 21, but I didn't say hot. I said she and her friend thought he was really good looking.
Well, here's my thought. I got to tell you a story because it happened yesterday. I'm thinking, wow, maybe these women are a little bit older because, you know, older women, you know, they have, you know, lower standards. But yesterday, I'm at the parade, and Joe Kelly's vehicle goes by. Matter of fact, I sent a tweet to you guys. Take a look at it. I sent it to the show. And this girl in front of me, probably about the same age as your daughter, she almost just fell out of herself. And she starts hanging her tongue out talking about how hot Joe Kelly was. And I said to myself, well, you know what? I'm a fool. Dale was right. I had no idea.
Oh, I didn't think he was cute. My 21-year-old daughter thought he was cute. So,
but it's not that you thought it. It's that any woman does. Most guys, you know, they're big buff guys, good looking guys, got great looking hair. Joe Kelly doesn't look like one of those guys. Joe Kelly looks like a guy that'd probably be working at CVS Pharmacy. You know what I'm saying? So I was just a little bit surprised.
I don't know. Lucy absolutely verified all the information.
Joe Kelly is way more my type than a big buff guy. Mm. Also, JD Martinez, add him to the list.
All right. Well, we didn't ask, but can we circle back?
Lucy's going through the whole roster here now.
Did Eddie say that older women are
lower standards?
Is that right? I wouldn't think so.
Seem true to me.
I would think an older lady would know what she likes. It's not going to settle for trash. That's what I would think.
I'm married to a very youthful lady.
There it is.
Who does her standards have not lowered over
if
the years.
If anything.
They were low when she married me.
I was going to say, yes.
Her standards have gone up since
then. That's what my guess would be.
I think it's peaks and valleys. Like when girls are younger, it's like very high standards. And then it dips.
I guess they're all different. You can't just.
No, I know all women. Together. Trust me, I am the.
Because you see really attractive women with ugly dudes all the time. All the time. You don't see vice versa as much. That's a fact.
If he's funny or tall, that works
or
very well.
Cha-ching!
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
God, I'm doomed, huh?
Yeah.
Short,
not funny,
dour.
No money. This guy, what a catch.
I got nothing going for me here. Man.
Yeah.
Frank's in New Hampshire. Hey, Frank.
Hey, how are you?
Great. How are you?
Hey, which contract's going to be worse in 2 years, Dustin Pedroia's or David Price's?
David Price.
You really think so?
Well, yeah, he's making twice as much. I mean, he'll be making twice as much as Pedroia.
In 2 years, but he'll, no, like three times as much. Yeah, but he'll still be playing, I think, right? So are you saying that you don't think Pedroia will even be playing?
I don't think Pedroia will be playing.
Yeah, he may not be. He may not be. But his contract actually goes down, I believe. It's like 15, 14, 12, something along those lines.
I thought it stayed up.
No.
It goes down. So 2021, when he's 37, it's $12 million, which, again, you don't want to just have to eat $12 million, but you might. So it goes 15, 13, 12. He has 3 years left on his deal.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Whereas Price has 4 years, and they're all over $30
million. Yeesh.
Yeah.
But they're here.
They are. Well, unless they trade them.
Well, you never know. 617-779-7937. We're going to try as best we can when we come back to sort through this Josh Gordon stuff.
Oh, we'll figure it out.
Was he late? Was he not late? Was he going to be punished? Was he not going to be punished? We'll try to sort through it all for you, and then we'll talk to Tom Curran at the top of the hour. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
So one of the big storylines for the Patriots game Monday night, because let's be honest, you were kind of bereft of storylines considering it was the Buffalo Bills.
Good Bills team.
Yeah. So one of the storylines was an Ian Rappaport tweet earlier in the day, which said that Josh Gordon had been late to at least one thing, possibly more than one. But
yeah, I was like, I was like, do you know what you're talking about?
But that he was going to be punished
right
Monday night. He was not going to play the first couple of series, perhaps as much as the first quarter.
Right.
And then, of course, the game started, and he's
so did Josh.
Lined up out there.
And so did number 10.
He's lined up out there, you know, ready to go, and everybody's wondering what the heck went on. So as you could imagine, when Josh got into the locker room post-game, it was one of the things that people wanted to ask.
Is there any problems with the tardiness?
That's going to be a question I'm going to ask Coach about.
Great answer, Dale. Take it up with Coach. Yes. I'm not here to talk about those things. You can ask Coach. I don't want to say the wrong thing. Perfect answer.
Yeah, I didn't like the answer at all, because if he wasn't tardy, just say, no, I wasn't tardy, period. You don't have to ask the coach if I wasn't tardy.
He's told you can't talk about non-football matters.
Maybe. So. You may be right. So
I'm hoping I'm right.
So, you know, he said you got to take it up with Coach. Well, Tuesday, Coach. Oh, no. Before we get to Coach.
Yeah, this was also post-game.
Yeah, this was also post-game. About the same thing. When
Phil, there was a report before the game that Josh Gordon had some tardiness issues and that he was considering a new series or something. Obviously, he played the whole
game. Yeah, I don't know. You'd have to talk to whoever. I don't know whoever wrote that. I have no idea.
So that was post-game. So Tuesday.
He had no idea.
No, he didn't know. You'll have to talk to him.
Yeah.
So Tuesday, OMF have the coach on.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, now Bill's had time to think about it.
He's had 18 hours or so.
Sure.
So needless to say, it came up again.
So Josh Gordon starts the game last night. Ian Rappaport before the game had a report, said that might not be the case because he was tardy. And he obviously starts the game. So was that not the case? Was Josh Gordon not tardy at practice or for the bus?
Yeah, I don't know. You'd have to talk to Ian Rappaport. I mean, I'm not really sure where that's coming from.
Now, he at least at that point knew who wrote
it. Ian Rappaport. Yeah.
He's a complete and total disrespectful douche.
Talking about Ian, not Bill.
Not Bill.
Just so we're clear.
All right, so Ian Rappaport has a podcast.
Yeah, what's the name of the podcast?
I don't remember.
It's called...
Your Professionalism Stinks.
No, I don't think that's the name.
No, the name of the podcast is Rap Sheet and Friends.
Oh.
What?
Nice.
I think he's a big Garfield fan, I would say.
So today, one of those friends was, Mike Garofalo, right? Is that who was on there? So
he's obviously a friend of his.
I said one of the friends was obviously Mike Garofalo. So it came up today, and Ian Rappaport tried to explain exactly what went into his reporting on Monday.
I want to talk about the Josh Gordon situation. It was on Monday afternoon. I got a tip that Josh Gordon was informed that he was going to be sitting out a quarter of the game against the Bills because of discipline. I was told he had a lateness, and so I checked on it. I had three sources confirm that Gordon was informed that he was going to miss a quarter. Other reporters, including Mike Giardi, reported that it wasn't one lateness. It was actually two. It was late to the team flight, and it was late to a meeting. And I checked all the boxes. And I went with my report. And then first play of the game, there goes Josh Gordon on the field. And so everyone wants to know, what happened. And I will say the honest truth is I do not know. Sometimes the reporting of things and getting it out there, especially before the game, does change what actually happens. But I may never know. And I've since gotten calls from people who confirmed it to me, calling me up and asking me what changed. And I literally have no idea.
Your professionalism stinks.
Unfortunately, it is not fun. I also reported that Rich Rodriguez had agreed to terms with Alabama, which he had, and then he didn't, and then they hired Nick Saban. So life as a reporter is weird. But if for anyone wondering, that is what happened. And that is the Josh Gordon situation.
And Ian Rappaport is a douche.
He got it wrong. He got it wrong. He was a...
I believe he had it right.
Well, he obviously had it wrong, Dale, because he didn't miss any time.
No, but I mean, his story about, you know, he was going to be punished. There were tardiness issues.
Yeah.
Mike Giardi also confirmed that it wasn't just one. There was, in fact, two.
But did Giardi say he was going to be suspended?
No. He just said that there had been more than one tardiness
and
problem.
And so that part, maybe he's right about, because that really hasn't been confirmed.
Right.
Nor really officially denied by anybody.
No, I think Ian Rappaport got that part right.
Maybe he was late for something.
And I believe that one, two, or three of his sources, he said three, all said to him, yeah, he's not going to play in the first quarter. He's going to sit out some series.
Do you think Rappaport's tweet got Josh Gordon back in the starting lineup?
I wonder. I really do wonder.
Oh, my God. Do you think that Belichick was so mad? Maybe he knows who the mole slash rat was and was so mad that they would give that out that he was going to say, I'm going to make you guys look wrong, too.
See, now there is that. I think that's actually a pretty good take.
Yeah.
You know, he's sitting there saying, you know, here are the three people who knew.
Yeah. And why are you sharing this?
Yeah.
Why are you passing this along?
We don't share family business. We don't do this.
Especially with this player, because you know how fragile it can be.
Yeah.
And you don't want to lose it away. And so it could be somebody that Belichick was annoyed with. And then he says, okay, so now, because now what you also do is Ian Rappaport, let's say he has these three people in mind that told him this information.
Yep.
Well, now if he hears something else from them, doesn't he have to kind of doubt himself?
I would definitely. Peter King's talked about that in the aftermath of Deflategate.
Yeah.
You know, somebody gave him something which was wrong, and he just said, you know.
And even if that person was right always before, now you're like, okay, I don't want to do this again. And then, you know, that was a big story going into the Monday night game. That was the biggest story because, as you said, it's a Bills game. So Josh Gordon maybe being late for something.
And given Josh Gordon
and because of who
history,
it was, yeah, of course.
You can see where it would be a big story.
Yeah, huge.
You can see where, you know, if he didn't start, people wouldn't even think anything of it. If it's not out there, I'm saying. If it's not made public, he doesn't start. You know what they're like. They start this guy. They don't start that guy.
They have Cordell Patterson in the backfield.
Yeah, I mean, no one would have said anything. No one would have noticed anything.
Right, but this.
This comes out Monday afternoon, and all of a sudden, now the spotlight's back on Gordon. And I think Bill Belichick was mad about whoever it was who gave the stuff to Ian Rappaport. I think Rappaport got it right. And I think Belichick said, no, we're not going to do this now.
You give him the old switcheroo.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll talk to Tommy Kern about that and more. He'll join us in just a couple of minutes. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.